Those that are staying here can turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is Brian Tebow's time to teach, but he's not feeling well. So I'm just filling in for him. But we're going to go back onto our series on sound doctrine. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. I want to talk this morning about the image of God, that man was made in the image of God. This is a Bible doctrine that has affected all of humanity, at least since Christianity has gone all over the world. And the fact that we are made in the image of God makes a huge difference in our attitude toward one another. And it is by far the best doctrine out of all the other doctrines that are out there about how we came about. God created man in His own image. Now remember, when we're talking about sound doctrine, we're talking about, and we all have to hold fast the form of sound words, and the Bible says we need to teach sound doctrine, and we need to make sure we understand sound doctrine. Sound doctrine in the first place is true. It has to be true. If it's not true, it's not sound doctrine. If there was no flood in Noah's time, then Genesis chapter 8 and 9 and 10 are not sound doctrine. Amen. If that didn't really happen. And if we believe that the Bible is sound doctrine, then we have to believe that. We have to accept that. And sound doctrine not only is true that Jesus rose again from the dead, for example. That's sound doctrine. Amen. Because it's true. He actually did rise again from the dead. Sound doctrine is first true. Second, sound doctrine is moral. I mean, if an angel appears to you in a dream or however else and tells you you can have more than one wife, that's not sound doctrine. You see, because that's immoral. And it doesn't matter whether this angel appears to Muhammad or to Joseph Smith or anyone else telling you you can go out and just indulge in your flesh. That's not sound doctrine. That's not of God. And if it's an angel from heaven, don't believe him. Let him be accursed. And in the third place, sound doctrine is healthy. Sound doctrine is going to make you a better person. You're going to have advantages in life because of sound doctrine. So if your sound doctrine is causing, you know, all kinds of problems, you know, health problems or anything else, maybe your doctrine is not so sound. You'll find out that the Bible is full of sound doctrine. What about this doctrine? That God created man in His image. First, what does it mean? Now, it's been drilled into me since I was young that you're not supposed to preach what you don't understand. But I got news for you. There's an awful lot of things that I just believe I don't understand. I just believe them because it says so. And I can't tell you dogmatically what he means by that we were created in God's image. But I can give you some ideas. First of all, you get the idea that it means we kind of look like God. Because over there in Genesis, a little while later, it says that Adam begat a son after his likeness, you know, after his image. And so you think, well, maybe that means we look like God. Maybe God has two eyes and a nose. And, you know, somebody think, well, that's the first thing that comes to mind. If we are made in God's image, you know, somehow God must look like us. But the problem is that God is a spirit. And obviously God is way more complex and way bigger, and so it's going to be hard to limit the visualization of God to us. And so, even though that is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word made in God's image, there's some problems with that. I think you can see that. And you can't really see God. But maybe if by looking at people you can see God in a sense, that has something to do with appearance. All right, I understand that. I get that. Another way of understanding it is that we are made in such a way as to let us be a figure of God. Metaphorically speaking, somehow we understand God by the way He made us. And that's probably a lot closer to what He means, because a lot of things in creation are created in order for us to understand God. God has made many, many figures in creation. Many figures. I've used it many times before, but the concept of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly, and how perfectly that matches up to the resurrection of the just. How we die and we're set aside for a time, and then, and we even wrapped in a cocoon. I mean, they put us in the grave, and things change, and our bodies are transformed, and we come out flying. Yeah, that's nice. But that's a picture. You see how God makes a picture. Even marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. So what we have is God making pictures so that we can understand. How could you understand God's love for you if He had not given you children that you love more than your own self? You would not understand. How can you understand God's love for you if He hadn't created marriage so that you find you love your wife more than you love your own body? This is God teaching. God is the ultimate, consummate teacher. He's teaching us about Himself. And in a way, the way God created man, He created him in a way that we could understand Him, God. Another way, some people think, at least I've heard it taught, and that is that God created us triune, as a Trinity. And people are Trinities. I mean, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And the Bible mentions that several times. Now, don't get me into trying to explain the difference between the soul and the spirit. The Bible says the Word of God discerns between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. But, you know, it takes a little bit to discern. It takes a little bit to understand these things. But the Bible does mention that we are a Trinity in ourselves. We, our persons are triune. We have a threefold division in our own persons. And God is also triune. So maybe that's what He means, you know. But if you'll look in the Bible, if you'll study it out well, you'll find out that animals have a body, have a soul, and have a spirit. You have to read the Bible to find that out. Because most people say, well, animals don't have a soul. But the Bible says the all the souls that were in the sea died. I don't know of any humans living in the sea. I don't know of any angels living in the sea. Obviously, fish have souls. And the Bible says that the spirit of the beast goes downward and the spirit of man goes upward when they die. So, you know, it's hard to determine exactly what He's meaning when He says He made us in the image of God. Another way to understand it is that man was made eternal.
Amen.
And that's true. He has an eternal spirit. And what is God called? He's called the Father of Spirits. Now, I don't know if you understand, but there's a threefold depth of creation. God created three huge things. The first is the physical creation. We could call them the laws of physics. And astronomers looking out there in the sky, they see amazing things. And they are trying to figure out mathematically all these laws that God put together, and it is amazing. The fact that we exist is an amazing act of God. He created laws, what they call the cosmological constants that cause everything to happen, and if it wasn't exactly like that, it wouldn't have happened. Wow, this is amazing. That's the physical creation that God made. He made space and time and put it all together in such a way as to have a fabric that He could build off of. And that's amazing. That's amazing. But there's another step to creation that's even more amazing, and that's the biological creation. God created life. The Bible says, in Him is life. In Him was life. He is a God of life. He's a God of life. He makes things live. They don't just live, they sprout and grow and multiply. And I mean, this is beyond our comprehension, how it works. Do you have anybody who understands biology at all? And they will have to admit, this is an amazing fact of creation. God creates life. But there's another step that's even deeper and bigger. And that's the step that God creates spirits. He creates people who understand right from wrong. He creates people who can determine and judge and make decisions. He makes independent wills. Just like when you have a child, that child is not you and does not think just like you. It's different. It's different. And they're going to make their own decisions. Parents, you do your best. You do your best. You raise up that child however you can, the best you can, whatever, and that child's going to make his own decisions. You want them to obey all their life, but you can't live their life for them. Come on. You cannot live their lives for them. The best hope you have is to give them to God and say, God, you be their father. Because you as a father aren't going to be with your child forever. Someday, you're going to die. And then who's going to take care of that child? It's going to be God. But God is the Father of spirits. He creates independent wills. People who can make their own free decisions. And that is also an amazing step of creation. If there's any more, I haven't figured them out yet. But there's at least those three. And there's another way to understand that we are made in the image of God. And that is our relationship to Him. Just as Adam had a child that was in his image, after his likeness, that sort of thing. This indicates that we have a relationship with God that's similar to that. The Bible says we are the offspring of God. Even in our creation, the way God created us, we are special to Him. Now let's look at some things. For example, Genesis chapter 5. I mentioned it already once. Genesis chapter 5. Just turn the page there a little bit. Two pages, sorry. Look at verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Did you know that God made some decisions when He created us? And every time He creates us, He's making decisions. He made a decision whether you're going to be male or female. And you may think He made a mistake. Maybe you're a little boy who thinks you're a little girl on the inside. But you're wrong. You're wrong. And I've said it before, you need to trust your eyesight more than your feelings. You should know that God made those decisions. And when God makes that decision, you need to submit to God. Don't sit there and believe all the philosophers nowadays saying, well, your orientation and all that stuff, and you got rights and whatever, and don't let anybody hate you or whatever. Listen, you better obey God. You better believe God, or you're going to be an enemy of God.
Right.
Let God decide some things in your life. How's that? Why don't you let God decide whether you're male or female?
Amen.
That's really not part of this study, but that is sound doctrine, I can tell you that. Obviously, when Adam had a child, he says, hey, it looks just like me. It looks like me. It's like I got all these grandbabies, and all of them look just like me. I think that's just great. What does that mean, Scary? Now, give me a break. Come on. No, we don't need comments from the peanut section over here. You guys, listen. Isn't it exciting when you have a child that looks like you?
Amen.
Got your mother's eyes. Oh, doesn't she have her mother's eyes? Oh, yes, she has her mother's eyes. It's just exciting. Why? You have someone that's like you. That's like you. And you know, we are social creatures. We want people like us. We need people like us. In fact, all of you depend on other people. Don't get into this mood where you're going to go out in the mountains and be a self-preservationist, you know, and you're going to last right through the tribulation and somehow survive. Forget it. Survivalist, let it go. You need the grid. You need it. I'm telling you, you need it. All you got to do is get stuck out on an island. Go watch Castaway or something and you'll see. You need other people. You need other people to keep your car working. You might be the best mechanic ever, but someday you're going to get stumped. You're going to need somebody else that's got a machine or a tool that you don't have.
Amen.
We need each other. We are social creatures. We need each other. And let me tell you something. It is a blessing to have people like us. It's a blessing to have a congregation of like-minded people.
Amen.
See? And so Adam says, look, I got one like me. Now, I don't know what happened to Cain and Abel. I know that it doesn't say they were after his likeness or whatever, but Seth, hey, he's like me, and that's nice. That really is. That's handy. Well, maybe that's what God means. He created different. He created a difference between people and animals. And He says, they're going to be like Me. Now, if there's one thing that's clear on this sound doctrine, and that is that there's a difference between people and animals. That's clear. And this is sound doctrine, by the way. Just to let you know, this is sound doctrine. There is a huge difference between animals and people. And I know that nowadays in our society that people think of pets as people. I saw a bumper sticker that said, pets are people too. Really? No, that's not true. In fact, that's bad doctrine. That's not sound doctrine. That's bad doctrine. Somebody's fooling you. And you know where they got that? They got that from that imaginary leap of faith called evolution. The idea that we're just, you know, glorified apes. Somehow we descended from the trees and lost our tail and lost our coat of hair. And now, you know, we're people. Wow. Somehow we grow a brain. That's an amazing leap of faith that people believe that. That's not even rational. That's not reasonable. And let me tell you something. Look, I respect scientists. There's a group of scientists called Intelligent Design, and they believe that they have seen that science reveals God. These are good people. These are decent people who, by just the rules of scientific method, they believe they have discovered God. Science reveals God. People like Einstein, who sees that all the stars are moving away, and he says, well, that means there was a beginning, there must be a God. That's the Intelligence Design idea, that you can, by scientific method, discover God. Well, the truth is, God revealed science. It's not an accident that the scientific method came about where the Bible was. That's no accident. And the reason why is because of the belief in a transcendent God, and the belief in the laws of nature, and the belief in order, and the belief that God had done things for us to understand. These beliefs caused the scientific method. But anyway, you get scientists, and I respect scientists. These people go to a lot of trouble to learn and to know and what have you. Although I will tell you, evolution is not science. That's a guess. And that's a really bad guess. It is not true. I had a lady talking to me the other day, and she said, well, I just believe in evolution, don't you? No. Well, why not? Because it's not true. It's not possible. Well, now how do you know? The scientists tell us it's true. No scientist tells you it's true by science. They don't have any proof. In fact, every single time it's been put to the test, it's failed. Charles Darwin said, if this is true, we're going to find a whole lot of intermediate fossils. Have we found any? No. We haven't found one intermediate fossil. But you know what we have found? 20 new phyla. 20 new types of animals that we didn't have before. No intermediates. And now our problem is twice as hard. There aren't any missing links, folks. And all you got to do is get a calculator and do the math. Fred Hoyle, a scientist, he was an astronomer, not a biologist, but he had a calculator. He did the math. He said, this is not true. It's not possible. You cannot have this happen. This cannot possibly have happened. And he's right. Of course he's right. You've got a calculator, use it. It's not possible. The simplest created life, the simplest single-celled animal is so complex, way too complex to have happened by accident.
Amen.
You know, Louis Pasteur put spontaneous generation to rest a century ago. It's to rest. Let it go. It did not happen by accident. But when you start with that philosophy that we are somehow just a product of random mutations, it just happened, well, then it sort of seems logical that we're just like animals. Apes are our second cousins. You know, we descended from snails. That's really what we are down deep inside. We're snails, and we're just as slimy. And the truth is, when you get that philosophy, when you get that idea, and it's not scientific, by the way. Don't let them fool you. They're trying. Every day they're trying to fool you. I just read a book the other day. He said, evolution is fact. It's as clearly proven fact as any other fact in science. And he's wrong. Anybody who's done the study on it is wrong. These Intelligence Design people, they have done the study, they have proved it. You can read their books. Evolution, Theory in Crisis by Michael Denton. He's not a Bible believer, but he can show you that it did not happen. Fact, separate it from fiction. Fact, will tell you that this did not happen that way. And when you get this idea that we're just like glorified animals, you got yourself some bad doctrine that's going to cause problems. A fellow named Richard Dawkins, he likes to point out all the bad things religious people have done. And he'll point out the Inquisition in Spain. Several thousand people got killed over the Inquisition in Spain. Of course, Jack Chick says it was 50 million or something, but I don't think that's correct. I don't know how in the world they could have killed 50 million people in the Spanish Inquisition. But, people have a tendency to speak ministerially sometimes. One way or the other, a lot of people died in the Inquisition. And that's what some bad religious folks did. And now he'll point out 9/11. But, he's not pointing out all the people that evolution has killed. He's not pointing out the Marxists. Anybody ever heard of Joseph Stalin? Anybody ever heard of Mao Zedong? I was talking to a Canadian one time years ago. This was in the 70s. Years ago. And they had... I forget the name of the prime minister after Mao Zedong. Dang or something like that. It's hard to pronounce those Chinese language names anyway. But one way or the other, they had him on Canadian television. And he admitted to having to purge the country of China of 25 million believers during the Cultural Revolution. He admitted it on Canadian television. And at the time, Canada had 25 million population. Basically, the whole country gone. They had to purge them. Hey, how come they're not mentioning that as a fruit of evolution? That ain't sound doctrine. And you want to get into theistic evolution and all that? Hey, just let that stuff rot right where they found it. It's not true. It's bad doctrine. It's damaging. You want to see what evolution does? It causes eugenics. That's what it does. It causes genocide. 6 million Jews, they were killed because somebody believed evolution.
Amen.
Got one amen out of that. That's good. That's appropriate. All right. Man, I have gotten off out of order, but let's keep going here. It's a figure. It's a metaphor. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. You want to see how God teaches you? Let's look how God teaches you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man." Now, don't get all bent out of shape. Women are made in the image of God as well. The Bible says, "In the image of God he created them." All right, so women are the image of God too. But a woman is not the glory of God. The woman is the glory of man. You see in that? That's what it says. Hey, and folks, we don't have to be equal. You know what all this emphasis on equality is? It's called envy. Envy is a sin. You don't have to have the same thing everybody else has. That's envy. You don't need to be that way. Let God give you what He gives you, and you let Him give somebody else what He gives them. If God made men to typify, to be the metaphor of His glory, well, just let men have that glory, okay? We got too little as it is, so let's give us a little bit. What he left out in brains, he gave us in glory, okay? But the woman is the glory of the man. You see how God is saying, we were created in God's image as a teaching tool. We were created in God's image so you can understand God. And you can understand what God is doing and what God is thinking and how God ought to be honored and how God ought to be worshipped. You see how God uses all of these things to teach us? Everything in creation He's trying to teach us. Why? He wants us to understand. He wants us to know how God is, what God is like, so that you can have fellowship with Him. This is an amazing, amazing fact. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. "In whom the God of this world," the God of this world is the devil. See, that God is a little g God. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So God had a plan to take on human flesh. He wanted to be among us. He wanted to live among us. He wanted to tabernacle among us and walk in our midst. That was God's plan from the beginning. So He had to create us in His image so He would fit. And He did. He came. He was born. He was manifest in the flesh. He walked around among us. And God fit in human form. Why? Because He made man in His image for that purpose. This is a huge, wonderful, blessed doctrine. We are made in God's image, and it worked fine. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Why did God make us in His image? It tells us, Colossians 1:15. Says, who, talking about Jesus Christ, His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God? Now, what is it? What does that mean? He's an invisible God, and yet we can see Him. It's called the veil of His flesh. We can actually see God by seeing Jesus. What did Philip say? Oh, Father, Jesus, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and that'll be good enough. We'll be happy with that. And he says, well, how long have I been with you, Philip? Haven't you seen me yet? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He is the spitting image of God. You can see God by seeing Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you can't see Him. He is invisible. Light doesn't bounce off of God. So, He's invisible. You got to understand that. You can see God by seeing that image of God. We are made in His image so that when we see people, we are seeing something that gives us an understanding of God. And when Jesus shows up as God in the flesh, we see God. And our hands handle Him. And we embrace Him. And we sit at His feet. We sit in His shadow. We listen. We hear. We fellowship with Him. That's why He made us in His image. This is a tremendous fact. All right, now notice that another thing that it means is that we are created with more value because we're made in His image. Look at Psalms 8. Remember, it says we're different than the animals. He did not create animals in His image. And apes are very, very similar to us in appearance, right? And yet apes were not made in the image of God. If there's one thing clear, that's clear. Well, maybe it's not clear yet. Let's read Psalms 8. All right, look at verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why is man so important to God? Why does God care about you? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him, why would God visit you? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, a little lower, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. That includes the animals. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Under man's feet, he said, you'll have dominion over all things in this creation. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He made us a little lower than the angels, but he made us higher than the beasts. He made us in his image. So, we're higher than the beasts. Now, don't let anybody give you trouble over eating animals. Or raising them for livestock in order to shear them and use them and what have you. I'm telling you, we got people that got all kinds of crazy doctrines out there. Crazy doctrines. I work with a lady who's a vegetarian or a vegan or I don't know what they are. But anyway, they don't believe in livestock and raising. They said, oh, I just can't stand the way farmers treat their cows. And I said, well, what do you mean? How do farmers treat their cows? Well, they just raise them in the horriblest conditions. I said, man, I know some farmers raising cows, and they treat those cows like pets. They feed them, they baby them, they take care of them. That cow lives its entire life just eating. Just eating. Doesn't have to do a bit of work. And if they made them work, it wouldn't be good for meat. So they don't make them work, they let them just eat and fatten up. They have the best life of all. Well, they can give you trouble, and they can say, well, now listen, dolphins are people too, and we got to take care of them. And folks, listen, I'm not endorsing cruelty to animals. The righteous man takes care of his beast. He takes care of his beast. And what farmer would try to, you know, I mean, let's say you're a chicken farmer, and what are you going to do? Make torture your chickens all the time? So what? They give less eggs if you torture your chickens, you know, and if you don't feed them well, they don't produce good. I mean, you're not supposed to be mean to your animals, and don't be mean to your pets. We, you know, every time that a child does something cruel to an animal, it gets on the news. I know, because we work in the courts, and you've got all the news cameras there because some kid lit a cat on fire or something. And that's horrible. That's wrong. Of course it is. We all recognize that as evil. But cats aren't people.
That's right.
If you run over a cat, you know, that's sad. That's sad. Poor Tabby, and they're going to put lost. I lost this cat. Where is it? We can't find it. You know, $1,000 reward. You think that's funny, but the truth is, we've got billboards with $2,500 reward for this little snickerdoodle dog, something, you know, that they lost. Well, listen, I got news for you. Cry for a moment, take a baby aspirin, and, you know, get over it. They're not people. Now, you might ought to have a little bit more gumption about people killing babies.
Amen.
Why don't you get upset about something? Why? Because babies are created in the image of God. All right. Look at Genesis chapter 9. We read this last time I had the study because we studied on human government. And this is one of the ones on human government. But you notice how he says it. Look at chapter 9. Look at verse 6. God says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? Why did God put a criminal outcome on this? He says, now, from now on, anybody who kills another man, his blood has to be shed. That's the death penalty, by the way. And that's what God endorsed in Genesis chapter 9. But he tells us why. Wow. For in the image of God made he man. Don't you be killing babies. Just don't be doing that. I mean, I know that we got this philosophy, this evil doctrine, this satanic doctrine, this bad doctrine that's unhealthy and untrue and not right, and it's competing with our doctrine, and it seems to be winning. But it's wrong and it's bad, and don't you subscribe to it. Young ladies, don't believe them. They tell you it's just a blob of cells. It has no soul, no spirit, whatever. Listen, that blob of cells was made in God's image. And God said, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood..."
Right.
Make a difference. Make a difference. We are different than animals. Make a huge difference in your thinking.
Amen.
Make a huge difference in your thinking. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, "God made man upright, and yet he sought out many inventions." There's a whole lot of truth in that verse that you might not realize at the first. That God made man upright. Did you know that man is the only creature that stands up? And why do you think God made us so that we can stand up and walk around on 2 feet? So we can use our hands. There's a reason for that. You're walking around on 2 feet. Dogs can't use their hands. Now, I realize that, you know, raccoons do a little bit. And I know apes can use tools too. You know, they can take a stick and put it down in the termite hole or whatever. And they can throw stones. But the truth is, God says, "I'm going to make man different. Man's not going to be like animals. I'm going to make them stand upright." And they're going to stand upright, and they're going to walk around. And that's pretty amazing. I got to tell you, that's pretty amazing that men can stand upright. I don't know how people stand up anyway. But God's got us standing upright. And we use our hands. We can make all kinds of inventions because we're upright. Now, there's deeper truth in that Ecclesiastes 7:29, that God made man upright. In other words, honest and true and supposed to be more virtuous and moral and all that. And yet we've come out with many inventions, man. We got all kinds of ways to get around God's rules and God's laws, right? So there's a lot more to it than that. But look at the fact. God made us different than animals. Just consider the fact that God made us upright with opposable thumbs and the ability to use our hands and the hand-eye coordination that all people have, way much more than most animals have. And that doesn't mean we are physically superior to all the animals. There are other animals that have better eyesight, better smell, and live longer. And there's even other animals that have bigger brains than humans. Yeah, that's true. Doesn't even surprise you, does it? There are other animals Yeah, whales and elephants, they got bigger brains. I hear that some dolphins have bigger brains than humans. That doesn't mean they're smarter, but one way or the other, they have bigger brains. So that's not what we're trying to say, that we're superior in every way. But we are different. We're different from animals because God made us with a purpose, with a way, in order to make us more useful in His way. So He makes us upright. We're the only one that can use these tools that way. I know bears stand upright sometimes and apes do too, but the truth is God made us so that we can do it all the time and function standing upright. Humans are the only ones with facial expressions. You cannot tell if a dog is happy or upset by looking at its face. But you can with a man. You can't tell with an ape. An ape does not know how to smile. An ape does not know how to show anguish on its face. Their faces do not have the same muscles that our face has. You know something? They have people who actually read faces. They say it's more accurate than polygraph tests. They can just look at your face and tell. Now, actors practice faking facial expressions. But it's a very difficult thing to master because it's just natural. It's part of us. God made our faces expressive. Did you know that people have whites in their eyes? You know why people have whites in their eyes? So that you can see what they're looking at. You can look at a baby and tell whether it's looking at you, focused on you or not. In fact, you see it all the time. I hold that baby there and think, I'm over here. I'm trying to get them to look at me. What are you looking over there for? There's nothing over there. Look at me. Right? You can see that. Why? God made us different. He made our faces to be in a way that's similar to God, that we can tell what He's thinking. It's a matter of understanding. We're the only animal that speaks with speech, that sings with songs, that laughs, that cries. All of these things are completely human, only human. Not a product of evolution, it's a product of creation in God's image. Now, I want to get to the important ones, and I left myself 10 minutes to do it. All right. What we see here in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, He says, you don't be killing men. You don't be killing them because they're made in God's image. You know what that means? That means God thinks men are valuable. Think about what this means about how God cares about people. You know that God cares about people? Why does He say, love thy neighbor as thyself? Because they're made in His image. There's something about being created in God's image that means God cares about people. God cares about those multitudes. He cares. He says He looked at all those people. We're like sheep without a shepherd. And He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Why? Because they're made in His image. He cares about people. He invested humans with eternal value to Him. James 3:9. James 3:9. Says therewith, talking about this tongue, the tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. You know what He's saying here? It's a rhetorical thing. He's saying, you shouldn't be cursing men. Why are you cursing people? Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you curse them, and God says, He's made in My image. He's dear to Me. I love Him. I care about Him. I want what's best for Him. What are you doing cursing Him? And yet you do. I do. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. You made us in Your image. And if it weren't for that, He wouldn't have loved me. But He loved me. And if He loved me because I was made in His image, He loves them. They're made in His image. Don't be cursing men. Don't be killing them. Don't be cursing them. Why? Because God invested humans with eternal value to Him. All right? There's also the potential for a wonderful relationship to God. Look at Acts 17. Acts chapter 17, 28. Talking about God creating men, putting them all over the earth. He says, look at verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. God wants to be found, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, not just Christians. He's talking about people out there. He's talking about the Hottentots. He's talking about the southern, the most deepest jungles of Africa and South America. Those people, says, in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Now don't get confused, because the Bible does talk about all these people being His offspring, but being called a son of God is a different thing. Because a son of God is after you have been born again by His Spirit. And that's what you need to be born again. But you were born the first time, and the Bible calls you the offspring of God, meaning you're important to Him. You have a relationship to Him as one of His, one made in His image. We are the offspring of God. For as much then, verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Goes on down and says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
God says, I want them all everywhere. I want them all. I want that one in Poland. I want it. I don't care how far away. I want that one in Russia, in Siberia, yeah, in China, the deepest part of China, the deepest jungles. I want them all. Why? They're made in His image. There's a relationship there. God says, they're made in My image. They're important to Me for that reason. Now look. Oh, there's a bunch here. Look at Psalm 139. I am sparing you. Psalm 139. I just love all these verses, and I wish I could have time to read them all. But Brent insists he has to have a chance to preach too. So, Psalm 139, verse 13. The Bible says, David says, for Thou hast possessed My reins. By the way, this is one of the most beautiful pieces of literature ever written. You read Psalm 139, memorize it, get a hold of it. It could change your life. For Thou hast possessed My reins. Thou hast covered Me in My mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. Look what God says. He formed you in the womb. God fashioned you. He knew you when you were in the womb. He knew you when you were in the womb. What does that mean about the relationship, that potential relationship we have with God? Just the fact that He says, you're important to Me. You mean something to Me. You're valuable to Me. You're internally valuable to Me. I want you. I care about you. I watched you when you were being formed in the womb. You know, people who kill babies, I've got to tell you, there's just no excuse for that. There's no justification for that. God says He loved them when they were still unperfect. They weren't finished, but He was fashioning them because they were important to Him. Well, we're going to move on. Look at this relationship. Genesis 3:22. The devil will lie to you, but he lies by telling you partial truths. He don't tell you an entire lie. He just gives you a little smattering of the truth. But the Lord comes down and confirms it. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now I want you to notice what that means. That Adam, from the time he was created, had the potential to become as one of God. One of us. I'm talking about God the Trinity. God the Godhead. One of us. Adam had that potential. God had created him with more potential than he was actually in possession of at the moment. In other words, God made Adam after a certain fashion. He says, I'm going to make him this way. And the reason why is because there's something for him in the future that I'm going to give him. In other words, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't a bad tree. It wasn't an evil tree. God had not made, there was nothing bad in that garden. There was nothing bad that God had made. It just wasn't ready yet. Adam wasn't ready for it yet. And so God knew what he was going to do, and the devil knew a little bit too. And the devil said, God knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll become like one of them. You'll become like him. Like one of us, I think the devil says. One way or the other. You're going to know good and evil. It's going to be better. He's withholding something from you. And they believed that sorry liar. They believed him, and they ate, and they became as one of them. Now I want you to think about the concept that God put potential in people. God made you for more than what you are actually right now experiencing. God has you for more. You think that this is it. You think that this is your life. No, you're wrong. That's a lie of the devil. This is not it. This is not the whole thing. You're in the caterpillar stage, okay? You're still a caterpillar. You're crawling around eating leaves. But God's got more for you.
Amen.
God's got big, wide open doors. He just opens those things up and all of a sudden, things change. And what you thought was your life, turns out wasn't it at all. Man, if you could just see that. If you could see that God has more for you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15. I love sound doctrine. I love the doctrine of this book. It will change your life if you let it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 15. Man, did I get the wrong one there. See, hold on. All right, I'm just going to have to quote it for you. Oh, look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you realize what he's saying there? Is that we, being made in God's image, are going to be changed, and we are at this moment being changed into His image as we speak, as we live. As we move, as we go, God is changing us from glory unto glory, turning us into people like Him. This was the potential that God had all along. He is growing us into that perfection of Him, so that we're going to be like Him. This is God's, the concept that God says, I have a lot of potential for you. I've got plans for you. I've got big ideas for you. Keep looking. Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God, now notice that word, after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Something has happened. God has put a new man in the believers. A new man, that's that new birth we're talking about, becoming a son of God, not just an offspring, not just a creation, but a son of God, a child of God. And with that Spirit in us, He has created a new man that is created after God. That's exactly what He's saying, in His image, in His likeness, after Him. We're becoming like Him more and more, growing up into Him to the perfect stature of the new man. That's what the Bible says. And look at 1 John 1:7. If you want God to blow your mind, look at 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Have you thought about the concept of fellowship with God? Fellowship. It implies a mutual correspondence back and forth. That God can talk with you and you can talk with God. What does God want? He wants fellowship. This is the potential. We are created in God's image. God cares about people. This doctrine is so much better than the pantheistic or the animistic or the evolutionary. It's much better than all those other doctrines. God has given us sound doctrine, and what He wants is fellowship with us. That's why He created us in His image. Lord bless.